Now, it's probably not that surprising to learn that the advertising industry isn't exactly as it's portrayed in Mad Men. But the award-winning drama is not the only source of misunderstanding when it comes to this industry. Indeed, whilst many businesses tend to view advertising as a discretionary expense, authors of a new report entitled Marketing Multiplied have pointed out that for every €1 invested in advertising in Ireland, a net return of €5.44 is delivered for marketeers. So how do businesses make sure advertising works well for them, and what are the main challenges facing this industry? To answer this question and more, we've ignored the Don Drapers of the world and gone straight to the real experts and authors of this report, and they are the CEO of Core Media, Alan Cox, owner and manager of Jim Power Economics Limited, Jim Power, and CEO of the Association of Advertisers, Barry Dooley. Lads, you're all very welcome to the programme. Barry, we might start with you. As the association man, let's call you, in the room, can you maybe just give us a high-level synopsis of what this report tells us, Marketing Multiplied?
Sure, Bobby. In the book, we have highlighted the growing concern which relates to the increase of short-term marketing. This shift has been caused by recession-driven urgency, which is damaging to the profitability of marketing. And indeed, 2 years ago, at a seminar hosted by the AAI, the theme of that seminar was Be Wise, Advertise. And John Fanning reviewed a plethora of IAPI ad effectiveness case studies at that time. And one of the conclusions from that review was that recession plus digitalisation plus retailerisation were responsible for an awful lot of short-term advertising campaigns at the time. And he made the point that a combination of all those three was not a good idea. So back then, there was an overemphasis on short-term promotions to the detriment of long-term brand building.
Okay. Right. Alan Cox, can I bring you in here? Because you've been through many cycles. You're a veteran of the industry. You've seen booms, you've seen busts. But could I put it to you that it's generally the case that when times get tough, the first expenditure, human nature, and all that goes with it says, let's cut the advertising spend. You've seen it so many times over the years.
Absolutely. During the last recession, the total amount of money being spent in advertising was cut by 45%.
Yeah, which is higher than most businesses.
Absolutely. Yeah. A phenomenal reduction. And the reason for that is that there isn't a true belief in marketing by a lot of boardrooms in corporate Ireland and beyond.
Well, let's look at that. Let's drill down into that. And why so? Is it because marketing spend isn't properly evaluated? Is it that accountants can't understand the return on investment around a marketing spend? Like, what's the problem?
Well, the problem is, I think it's the latter point. It's a combination of things, really. But principally, it's because we haven't proved our case. We haven't invested. The marketing services industry hasn't really invested in proving its case to date. It hasn't brought science into our industry. And that absence of science has meant that there hasn't been enough proof point around our case. That's all changing now, and this book is part of that story.
But is it not fairly simple if I have a brand of chocolate and I spend 200,000 advertising the product and I check my sales the day I start, I spend the 200 grand and then I check my sales again. Yeah. Is it not as simple? And I don't mean to oversimplify
it. No, it can be, but generally it's very complicated to unpick the actual impact that marketing communications have on sales, but it can be done through econometric modelling. And econometric modelling will tell you what percentage of your sales is actually down to marketing communications. But not many people are investing in econometric modelling, and they're still investing in legacy forms of brand tracking, for example. Five times the amount of money is spent on brand tracking research in this country compared to econometric modelling. Whereas one will provide you a lot of insight and how to grow profit and the other doesn't.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a second. Delighted to welcome an old friend of the show, Jim Power, to the programme. Jim, economists, they're not wildly renowned for promoting advertising and marketing.
Well, yeah. I mean, when we started this study, we went back and looked at over 100 years of what economists have been saying about advertising.
It hasn't been very kind.
Well, it's mixed, actually. And we were a little bit surprised that there were so many positive elements. The typical view of intellectuals and economists would be that advertising is wasteful spending.
It manipulates people into buying stuff they don't need.
Exactly, all of that stuff. But then in 1993, for example, two Nobel laureates in economics, Arrow and Stigler, they basically said that advertising was a key part of driving competition in economies and that it acted to the benefit of consumers. And, you know, we evaluated all of this evidence on the economic side. And, you know, I have to say that at a consumer level, you know, advertising does provide consumers with choice. It informs consumers about the products that are available and the attributes of those products. And most importantly, it creates competition. And when you create competition, that tends to push prices down. So from a consumer welfare point of view, advertising is actually a very good thing. And the very strong conclusion we would come to, having looked at all of the economic evidence, that advertising actually is an incredibly important driver of economic activity.
Well,
and it does worry us, Bobby, that the moment economies go into recession, one of the first things that's always cut as a discretionary form of spending as an expense is advertising. To me, that is the very time you should actually be increasing advertising to prevent your market from totally disappearing.
I don't disagree with you. I absolutely don't disagree with you. But I also would say, and again, is there not something like 30,000 people employed in the marketing industry, give or take a few, on an annual basis?
There is, but one of the issues is that it's not just about the fact that we haven't proved our case, although that's part of it. It's also the short-termism is driven by the reporting cycle in a lot of companies.
This quarterly reporting.
Absolutely. It kind of gears people to think short-term. And it's just human nature that people will do that if they have to report on a 90-day period.
One of the other things, and you might help me with this, Alan, is the shift, I suppose, from traditional marketing as we'd know it to digital marketing and digital spend. What is actually happening there?
Well, it's happening if you take the total amount of money we spent on media in the last year, it's about $886 million, and $290 million of that is digital. Now, digital is a broad brush. So 39% of that is display advertising, the type of advertising you'd see generally in websites and video, and about 51% of it is search marketing. And that's growing at a very strong rate. I mean,
so 51% of the total marketing spend now is on search marketing. So that's Google Analytics,
yeah,
etc.
51% of the digital spend.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, just let me be clear on the figures again then. But I'm right in saying that more was spent on digital than was spent on TV advertising.
That's right. Yeah. About a total of $290 million was spent last year on digital across display, classified and search. And about $237 million was spent on television.
Right. So, and in trend-wise, I presume television was way higher in years past.
Yes, it was. But as I say, digital is a huge spread of activity. You know, it's not just one channel. It's a whole range of things. Whereas television, you know, is a very defined channel, obviously.
And what is the net effect of that to the industry? It means that the industry must be changing by the day.
Oh, absolutely. It is changing. The tools are changing, but the rules are not changing, which is interesting. You know, the marketing laws that were as true 20 years ago are true today. It's just the tools, the way we're communicating is changing. And the way people are consuming media is absolutely changing. And digital spend is growing very strongly. It grew by 17% last year. It'll grow by another 14% this year. Television is still growing. Television grew by 4% last year, or 3.6%. It'll grow by maybe 2-2.5% this year. Overall, we do expect marketing communication spend to grow by in line with the economic growth of 3.5% this
year.
One
of the key problems, Bobby, of the digital medium is that when you look at the creative content of digital, and Peter Field, who spoke at the launch of our book yesterday, a marketing effectiveness expert, his view is that digital fans short-term marketing, especially search. And John Fanning made the exact same point 2 years ago when he referred to digitalisation. He says, I see an awful lot of short-term stuff going on there in digital. And that is one of the problems that marketing is facing today. And it's going to continue.
It's a short-term spend. But it's also kind of a short-term result.
Yeah, that's the whole point I'm trying to make. Yes, Jim.
I would have a very strong view. As you know, Bobby, I chair Love Irish Food, where brand is the key driver. Okay, it's really important. And I think advertising, long-term advertising, is an incredibly important part of building brand. And I get very parochial about this, as I've often done with you. But I know
we're going to hear about Flavins.
You're going to hear about Flavins. But if you're looking for a brand name, and I remember as a kid the advertising that Flavins engaged in, and it has evolved, you know, 30, 40 years. But
that's why it's a true brand, Jim.
Absolutely. And, yeah. I think this is actually going to become a lot more important in the context of Brexit, because in the context of Brexit, I think that if you assume it's going to be a hard Brexit and tariffs go up to food, agri-food exports to the UK market and so on, the Irish brands that will survive are the brands
that people know.
That people
invest in,
so
advertising and
brand loyalty
promotion
is incredibly important. And that's why I think advertising, and I suppose going back to the question you asked me at the very beginning about the economic impact of all of this, advertising obviously helps firms. Okay, it grows business. And an economy is made up of a lot of firms and a lot of consumers. And if they are all benefiting from advertising, well, the net effect is that economic activity is boosted. So I think it's unambiguous that advertising is actually good for economic activity. The only thing we might disagree about is the magnitude of just how good it is.
Okay. But let me bring Barry back in. Barry, you've worked with some of the old brands. Jim mentioned them. And again, Flavins, Kerrygold, Barry's.
Yeah.
The role of the brand today, and again, you know, they're probably communicating differently because they're communicating digitally, and maybe, you know, TV isn't as important as it was. But is there anything telling us out there that the consumer is not as brand loyal as they were, say?
I think, like many, many years ago, people shop on promotions. Not everybody is brand loyal. I don't think a lot of that has changed today. One person would say that nobody loves a brand. People, marketeers might just say, I want to get people to love my brand. That's not always the case. I mean, who loves a brand? But there are people who are brand loyal. And there are many people brand loyal to Barry's Tea, to Flavins, to Kerrygold, and to many other brands that we know. I shop for brands myself because I'm involved in the business. One of the points I'd really like to make, if you look at the Barry's, the Flavins, those Irish iconic brands, they've been managed by the same people, the same owned companies, like John Flavin, John Noonan, Tony Barry, Camille O'Flanagan.
Yeah,
they've
been good
marketing
point.
Those brands all the time.
Yeah.
And consistency in their approach and their marketing has been all the way through.
And they will also as well take a long-term view rather than a short one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the evidence is there to show that long-term thinking is three times more profitable than short-term in terms of marketing activities. And we can quantify these things now. We used to be able to quantify them, but we actually can. And one is more important than the other. Long term is more important than short term, but you need to do both. You just need to do them in the right proportion. Short term activity is important in terms of finding people and getting reactions from people who are in the market now, but long term activity is crucial for growing the long term health of the business.
One other thing I want to ask you, Alan, is the control of the marketing spend. Again, when we talk about international brands, during the recessionary years, a lot of that moved out of Dublin, did it not?
Or
it
some
moved,
did, yes.
Yeah, so are we starting to get that back now, or, you know, is that forever lost? Because I think, again, if the spend has been controlled from overseas, you know, anything could happen. Some accountant who doesn't understand marketing could just put a red line through it and say, we're not doing that.
Yeah, we reckon about 25% of the money that's spent here is decided in the UK.
Right.
Yeah, and that 25% as a result was impacted by Brexit, particularly in quarter four of last year.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay. So Jim, just to I suppose move the debate on, you mentioned Brexit there. Agri-food, would it be your proposition now that anybody who's really on the ropes exporting a food product to Britain should be digging deeper and spending more on investing in their brand?
Big time. I think advertising creates brand loyalty. And, you know, you say, is brand loyalty disappearing? Well, I look at my own kids. Well, they're not kids anymore, late teenagers, early 20s. They're very strong on brands. And I think the younger generation, many are very strong on brands. And of course, us in the older generation, I think, are particularly strong on brands. But the point is that those exporters into a difficult UK market post Brexit, the ones that will actually survive will be those that have strong brand presence. I think it's absolutely essential, because it's the commoditized stuff, the generic stuff, that's what's going to be pushed out of the market.
But the other side of that argument is that the smaller food producer who doesn't have the resources is in deeper trouble than he maybe even imagines.
Yes, that is a perennial problem with SMEs across all elements of activity, but particularly in the agri-food sector. They don't have necessarily the expertise or the financial resources to market. And that's why I've always believed that for small businesses starting off, mentoring is so important, giving them assistance in terms of how to market, financial assistance in terms of finance and branding. So I think our agencies like Bord Bia and Enterprise Ireland, I think, will have an incredibly important part to play in the run-up to the whole Brexit. And I argued to an Oireachtas committee just before Christmas that Bord Bia's marketing spend actually, or its allocation, should be doubled in the context of Brexit. Because I think for smaller businesses particularly, you are correct, they don't have the resources to market very much, but they need those resources if they're to survive in what would be a more difficult environment.
And I wonder, should they be coming together formally, Jim?
Yes,
you know, in the sense that that the chance of survival is greatly increased.
They should, of course. Bord Bia, it was the first time I'd heard the term used a few years back. They spoke about co-opetition. If you can get small competitors working together in terms of building brand in the UK market, for example, I think that's going to be incredibly important.
Alan, let me give you the last word on this. And again, it's a great document that you've produced here, the three of you. Chris Johns, Jim Power and Alan Cox, Marketing Multiplied. What happens tomorrow? What happens next week? What happens next month? How are you going to change this problem that people are short term, people aren't valuing the contribution that the industry is making and making sure that people would spend appropriately on marketing?
Well, we're hoping that this book will help people understand the impact that marketing communications has on businesses. And as I said earlier on, the industry needs to up its game in terms of understanding the knowledge and sharing the knowledge, and the book is part of that journey.
Okay.
So I hope that marketers will find this a very useful tool in helping them go about their daily business.
Okay, I'd like to thank my guests, Jim Power from Jim Power Economics, Alan Cox, CEO of Core Media, and Barry Dooley, CEO of the Association of Advertisers in Ireland. Thanks very much for joining us, guys. That was a great discussion.
Thanks Bobby.
Cheers.